1420 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A shooter still on the run in Dadeville, Alabama tonight, where four people were killed at a Sweet 16.
We just wrote it out. Me and my daughter-in-law were screaming prayers. Just please, Jesus, keep us alive.
More than two dozen others were injured. Dadeville Mayor Jimmy Goodman.
We expect our children and our grandchildren to bury us, not we burying them. So it is devastating on the parents and on their loved ones. And on City Hall. I mean, this is something that it's hard to deal with. It's hard to deal with.
The city held a vigil tonight for victims. A California lawmaker says it's time for his colleague to call it quits.
Representative Rogue Hanna says yes, 89-year-old Senator Dianne Feinstein has been ill, but he tells Fox News Sunday she needs to do her job.
She's missed 75% of votes this year. She hasn't been showing up, and she has no intention. We don't know if she's even going to show up. She has no return date.
Feinstein, who is not seeking re-election, has been recovering from shingles. She says she plans to return to Washington, but in the meantime, she has asked the Senate majority to appoint a fellow Democrat to temporarily fill her seat on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
A new CBS News poll shows most Americans want access to the abortion pill. Here's CBS's Jennifer DePinto.
Many American women now feel access to reproductive health care is getting harder. 50% feel that getting that care in the U.S. today is getting harder, and only 13% say it's getting easier. And women who want abortion to be legal are particularly likely to feel this way.
Lawmakers want answers after classified documents were leaked last week that included intel on the war in Ukraine. Ohio Republican Mike Turner.
We have an instance where someone in Massachusetts who's looking at documents with respect to war plans in Ukraine, and the Department of Defense knows, and that's what our committee is going to be looking at, is how do we make certain that we make changes.
Massachusetts Air National Guardsman faces up to 15 years in prison for that leak. European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde says it's not possible for the U.S. to default on its debt.
If you look at all the forecasts at the moment, it's all positive. It's been slightly downgraded, but overall we have a recovery, and we are faced with high uncertainty because of multiple factors.
But the Treasury Department says the U.S. could default this summer if Congress doesn't take action by July. This is CBS News.
Taxes are due. Have you filed yet? Don't worry. Jackson Hewitt is racking up the assists. They will get you filed or an extension before the deadline. Beat the crowds by going to Jackson Hewitt today.
Every piece of land has a story. Some right there is behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor, like the Upshaws.
This is my tractor, Penny. It's all about attention to detail.
But the Nelsons love cruising around their expansive Montana ranch in their John Deere Gator UV.
We've been here since 1868.
While the Caggianos drive a John Deere zero-turn mower to keep their Long Island brewery looking sharp.
Don't call me, don't bother me. I'm going out to mow for a couple hours.
Run with us and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
Before New Cascade Platinum Plus, I would pre-rinse all my dishes because my old detergent just wouldn't get them clean. But now, I do dishes differently. A no pre-wash, no rewash, money-back guaranteed kind of different. Because Cascade Platinum Plus has double the grease-fighting power of Dawn built right in, with twice the scrubbing power, giving me a clean that lets me break all the dish rules. I just scrape, load, and I'm done. Yep. So clean. With Cascade Platinum Plus, I dare to dish differently.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm warning continues until 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Lows around 27. Tonight, under cloudy skies, with snow likely. Northwest winds, 20 to 25 miles per hour. 33. Tomorrow, snow likely. Chance of snow, tomorrow night, 23. 5 to 10 inches of snow, tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this April 16th, session something something. Your host and program director here, James, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habager. Seth, the mics are on. Let's roll sound.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Director's Cut. Just James and me today.
Yeah.
But we've got a whole bunch of fun stuff to talk about. We haven't done this in a while either.
Yeah.
We have been just filthy with guests, and which is generally the way we like to do it. But
yeah.
This is fun, too. We wanted to touch base and talk about some other entertainment stuff.
I love that phrase, filthy with guests.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is a great phrase, my man. We're going to get into new music, new on your small screen, new on your big screen, touch on some of those things to start off the show. Right away, I want to mention something really quick. I'm pulling an audible on Seth right away.
Already?
One of the things that we want to do on this show is have a feature where we dissect films. It's called mm-hmm. Dissecting Film.
Right.
It's a segment to take a rabbit hole dive into a chosen film where you or you may not learn something new about some of your favorite films.
Right.
Now, Seth and I could do that show anytime, any day, every day.
Pretty much.
But that's one thing. I want to bring guests on. We want to bring guests on. And I don't mean film critics. I mean you.
Yeah.
Everyday people that just have a movie they love, maybe more than anything, maybe more than other movies or what have you, or just happen to know a lot about that said movie. We want to hear from you. We want to have you on. We're going to have some of our staff on to talk about some of their favorite movies and dissect them. And you may find out something new, or you may find a new favorite movie.
Hey, if nothing else, it'll get you thinking about, or maybe rewatch a movie that you haven't seen in a while.
Yes.
Look at it in a little different light, too, which to me is always cool. I love that.
My daughter inspired me with this when she told me about her favorite movie, and I had seen the movie, but I hadn't seen it in a long time. And rewatching it, mm-hmm. I got a new appreciation of it. I already liked the movie, but it had this extra like layer to it that I couldn't really describe that made me enjoy it a little bit more. I think that's a really good note. Dissecting Film, that is a segment we'll be doing in the future. I also wanted to mention as well, we're going to have Steph join us to talk about Huzel's Rise to Music at some point coming up here.
Oh, that's coming up faster than we can really think about. I just realized that, oh my gosh, we're in April. It's coming up really fast.
And as always, we are always open to taking guests on this show. We got a lot of bookings already locked up, but we're doing it every Sunday, so we got plenty of time here.
We got plenty of time.
If you are an artist, if you are a creative of any kind, we want to have you on the air here. And we also are open to taking suggestions from people of, hey, you should have so-and-so on the year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of people that I'm thinking of off the top of my head that we're looking forward to having on. You can email either Seth or I. You can also direct message us on Facebook. Just type in your search bar, WFHR, like that page, and direct message us who you are, your suggestions to be on Director's Cut. Same thing for the Dissecting Film segment. If you'd like to be a part of that, you get a hold of us that way, or email us, james.maloff@civicmedia.us, or Seth's email.
Yep, that's right, seth.habhager@civicmedia.us. No, I had problems with it there.
if all else fails, you can always call our front office, 424-1300. Pam will get you in touch with us. So big shout out to Pam, and I appreciate that. What do you say? We start with new music?
Let's do it.
Okay. So new music coming out this week, actually released on Friday, 72 Seasons from Metallica. This is their first album in 7 years.
7 years.
Wow.
James
Hetfield says the title was inspired by the theory that the first 18 years of our lives form our true or false selves. The concept that we were told who we are by our parents, which could pigeonhole our personality. Metallica, known for their concept albums. Wait a minute, what?
Man,
as you get older, you get deeper. You know,
it
just went from Ride the Lightning to we're going to make you think now.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, even a band like Metallica that's kind of been pigeonholed into like a specific type of music, they're actually much more subtle than that. They have had a wide range throughout their long, long career. From where they've started, you know, as like, I don't even know what they were considered when they first got out. Speed metal? I don't know even what that
it's
was.
It's hard to say. Yeah, that's
it
good.
Is. Yeah, and they've been hard to categorize, too.
And as they were coming out at a time where there's a lot of hair. It's kind of the end of the hair band, sort of. And some of that. But no. It's right around that time they're coming out. And then the hair band thing rises up. And they don't do that kind of thing.
No, they did not.
So
not
they
at
didn't
all.
Really. They were coming out with like One and things like that. Like a song about a book. Like, you know, like 2 years. a great point by you. Mm-hmm. They've always had some depth to their stuff. The guests that they have on a lot of their songs, mm-hmm. especially that Reloaded album, the lady who had lost her voice, but she's singing in the background, no, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Having a symphony, like a, what was it, the London Symphony or one of the big Philharmonic symphonies yeah. playing your music with you on a world tour and stuff.
Which, so. I mean, if you would have asked Metallica when they first started yeah. touring, just getting together, they would have been like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. Symphonies? Come on now. And, but that's just part of the evolution of music. You can't, I mean, you know, as try as they might, I mean, maybe a band like the Rolling Stones has tried to, you know, be the sure. same as they were when they were in their 20s. Yeah. You really can't do that, yeah. especially when you have a music, a type of music like Metallica, where, you know, yeah, at some point you're going to slow down a little bit. You can't, you know, be the screecher that you were. So maybe you get a little more introspective. Maybe you get change things a little mm-hmm. bit. Now, I'm not saying that their sound has softened. It really hasn't. I mean, no. they've kept basically, you know, but they've, oh, yeah. they've played with it. They've done stuff yeah. with it.
I look at it a little similar to how we are with our music tastes. Like, yeah, you still yeah. listen to stuff that you did in high school, but that's not all you listen to. You listen no. to new music. You've grown. You're an older person. You want to listen to different things. These bands are no different.
It's true.
You know, they're the same as us. They want to do something maybe a little different or, mm-hmm. or just tweak what they already were. Natalie Merchant has her 8th album coming out on Friday. It came out this past Friday. Keep Your Courage. Good title. I like that title.
Oh, that is a good one.
It's a good name.
Haven't heard a lot from Natalie Merchant recently. It sounds like she's been continuing with her solo career mm-hmm. quite well. And as you heard, just, you know, because you should have been listening to Seth Face the Music,
yes.
10,000 Maniacs with mm-hmm. one of their hits when she was still with the band. So shout out to them as well.
Yeah.
But Natalie Merchant, one of those very distinct
yes.
voices and yes. I would say distinct singing styles.
Yeah.
She had a very interesting way of how she would phrase things. And I mean, she still does it, too. But there was something just very distinct about her.
I enjoy her voice and her style. I like how you said that her style of singing. That stands out a little bit to me.
Mm-hmm.
And very similar with the next artist. Her 6th album coming out, Feist, has Multitudes coming out.
Wow.
I'm a big fan of Feist.
Me too.
My Moon, My Man is one of those songs I could listen to every day and not get tired of. She's got one of those. Now, again, similar to what you were saying with Natalie Merchant,
mm-hmm.
her style of singing is so unique to me.
Yes, it is.
It's very jazz. It's very kind of just in and light out, in, light out, kind of almost. I enjoy it.
And, you know, she's the kind of that, there's a group of, and as far as I can tell, they're mostly women mm-hmm. artists. That have this like super eclectic sound to them. They draw from everything. I'm thinking of Feist. I'm thinking of St. Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
Even Natalie Merchant can be kind of, maybe not as much, but mm-hmm. she can also be, because she had a very, you know, interesting musical palette that she has been throughout her career.
I'm so glad you mentioned St. Vincent. I love love St. Vincent.
Yeah, she's
especially
great.
Oh God, the guitar playing.
She's
on her. It's just amazing. I played it for my dad the other day. He's got a new favorite guitar player.
She's great.
Ani DeFranco, I will mention too. I think
yeah.
that's not only a unique voice, like I hear her voice and I know it's her, mm-hmm. but the style of the way she sings is mm-hmm. so cool, so unique. If I could choose a style, I think I might almost choose that.
And it's great because you get a someone where you can hear immediately, you know who it is. So you hear Feist yeah. sing, you know it's her.
Yes.
For sure.
And finally, L.A. Guns is coming out with their 14th album, Black Diamonds.
What?
I did not know L.A. Guns was even... I didn't know they had two albums. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be mean. They got a lot more hit albums than I got, but I did not know they were still doing this. Like, more power to them. That's pretty cool.
You could have mentioned any number of bands just now, and I wouldn't have been more surprised than hearing
L.A. Guns. I had to save that one for last.
The 38 special was coming. Maybe I'd be more surprised.
Like,
but
Foreigner's got a new album coming out. Like, that would have shocked you as much as L.A. Guns has a new album coming out. But more power to them.
Nothing wrong with that.
Looking at what's new on your small screen this weekend, just kind of rewinding a little bit back to Friday night, The Last Thing He Told Me, a new thriller starring Jennifer Garner on Apple TV+, the 5th season premiere of The Marvelous Miss Maisel on Amazon. Paramount Plus has the second season premiere of the Rugrats reboot. I've heard good things about that. I haven't seen it.
I had not heard much, but I didn't realize they were on second season already. Wow.
Looking at Saturday had Ana de Armas, Saturday Night Live. She was hosting Saturday Night Live. That was an interesting one. So I want to look at Sunday in particular, of course, going on. Yeah, the American Idol stuff going on tonight. The fourth season premiere of Barry was on HBO.
Okay.
So a big one. Big thing happening tonight on Showtime, the premiere of Waco, The Aftermath. It's a five-part drama about disastrous FBI 93 standoff in the Branch Davidian. Michael Shannon, John Leguizamo, Giovanni Ribisi in it. Some of our guys,
are some good actors. Yeah,
Michael Shannon is one of those sneaky actors. Like you see him and stuff, and you're like, oh boy, I better be ready. Yes. Like, because he just brings like such a heaviness to his, every character he plays.
All three of those that you just mentioned, they're all of those actors that have this dramatic weight behind what they do. And that's interesting. You know, I didn't even realize that was coming out. But and for those of us that remember. I mean, how the big news when that was going on. We were in high school at that point, but man.
It's not a lot of fun getting older, but one of the interesting things to me about it is some of these life events that now we're seeing movies or documentaries
Isn't
on.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah.
When I watched the Woodstock documentary on Netflix, very good documentary, by the way, I recommend it. I remember that. I remember the whole thing. I remember wanting to go to that concert and everything.
Right.
And sure, some of the stuff we saw on MTV and everything. And then you see the documentary and you're like, oh my God. Like, no idea 90% of that was happening or anything.
Yeah,
like
I know.
That.
It was wild. It was wild.
And so oftentimes, I know for me, when I'm watching a documentary, it's something from the 50s or the 1800s or something like that. These modern documentaries, it really. There's a little nostalgia in there, but there's just a little like, huh, as grown as I've always been. I was born a little old man, as my mom would say. Right. There's some stuff where I'm like, huh, even I was a little naive on some things. Like even I didn't realize.
Well, and it's because we can kind of circle back to, you know, how you are when you change. So you think about, you know, the formative events that happened when we were in high school and everything like that. So yeah, Waco was a big one because it was on the news. And these are mostly like, you know, special report news things, you know, the Oklahoma City bombing, those kinds of things that, you know, are really, you remember really well, the Challenger explosion and all the, and now we are, like you said, now we're learning more and more about them as we go along here, which not only is fascinating, but it does. It kind of brings you back in a mindset of how you were at the time and how, you know, things may have changed since then. So it's really interesting.
Looking at what's new on your big screen this weekend, these first couple of films are on limited release. Sweetwater, rated PG-13. It's based on the true story of Nat Sweetwater Clifton, follows his career with the Harlem Globetrotters and when he made history in 1950 as the first African-American to sign a contract in the NBA when he joined the Knicks. Everett Osborne plays Sweetwater in a breakout role. He's already getting a lot of talk about his performance in this movie. Also, again, stars one of our guys, Cary Elwes from The Princess Bride. And Richard Dreyfuss is in it as well.
Oh, wow. Haven't heard from him recently. Good to see him back.
This is kind of funny because we've mentioned this lady's name a couple of times this week. And here we is. She has a new movie coming out. Mafia Mama, rated R. It's in limited release. It stars the great Toni Collette. as an average American mom who travels to Italy to attend her grandfather's funeral, but when a gunfight erupts, she learns that he was a mafia don. So she sounds like a bit of a comedy, I love her getting to do comedy. She always does these heavy, serious roles.
Yeah, she does seem to.
She deserves to do more comedies, man. She's such a well-rounded, well-talented actor.
Yeah,
that's great. Nice to see her getting to do some Italian stuff.
Yeah.
You know? getting to hit those roots there a little bit, even if it is stereotypical. It's still, you get to do it. You get to. I'll say this. Maybe more than any other nationality, when I talk to other Italian actors, very seldom get to actually play Italians. So when you do, you just like highlight it and you have to, like, I heard an actor talking about this. I think it was Pacino talking about how he almost has to tone down things because he's so excited to get to do an Italian accent and all that stuff and everything.
Oh gosh.
Speaking of accents, Russell Crowe.
Oh no.
I couldn't help myself. Sorry. The Pope's Exorcist comes out this weekend. Rated R. Russell Crowe plays the Pope's Exorcist who uncovers a centuries-old conspiracy that the Vatican has desperately tried to keep hidden. This is loosely based on the memoirs of Father Gabriel Amaroth, a Catholic priest who claims to have performed thousands of exorcisms for the Vatican.
Wow.
Father Amaroth also helped found the International Association of Exorcists, who, as we learned earlier this week, aren't very impressed by the movie. or Russell Crowe's accent.
Can we stop with that. Would people please stop giving him roles?
Please.
He has to do an act.
Yeah.
The only credible accent he does is an American accent.
Yeah.
He does a good American accent, but that's it.
Yeah. All these other ones. When I first saw the trailer, I admit, I even told the audience, I thought I saw some excitement in this, in the idea of covering that subject.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that in itself is an interesting concept to me. Because we've had the most current pope come out and mention that there is this exorcist society.
That's true.
Something. So now we're at a day and age where they are owning these things. They are talking about it openly. I think that's really cool. But then you see that, like, the script doesn't look very good, and there's some other things about it. Please don't let either of us sway you one way or the other on this stuff. It's just more data for your opinion making.
I'm sure there are a few people who are big fans of Russell Crowe out there. And hey, it's a little bit different role for him too. So hey, go for it.
I also want to say, I guarantee those people that are big fans of his never worked with him.
You're probably right.
Renfield is the big one coming out this weekend. Rated R. Nicholas Hoult plays Renfield. Great actor.
Yes.
Nicholas Hoult. And Nicholas Cage stars, of course, as Dracula. If you told me Nicholas Cage was starring at Dracula and the budget was $1, I would still watch it, let alone all of this. Awkwafina is in it as well. She's hilarious.
She's funny, yeah.
It does look very entertaining to me. I'm definitely... Yeah. I will not go to the theater to see it.
Yes. It's supposed to be a comedy, right?
It's supposed to be a dark comedy.
Yeah.
I think a dark comedy like this, I feel very similar to the great Leslie Nielsen playing Dracula.
Dead Loving It. Yes.
Yeah.
The Mel Brooks one. Yeah.
You need this. You know, these are old characters. Why not do a little bit of an adjustment, try a little different ways of reinventing these characters and making them fun? Nicolas Cage is known for being one of the greatest. I need you at a 10 and he goes at a 20.
Yeah.
Dracula is a role that you need to do that with.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman did it. Like, everybody that plays Dracula ups it a notch.
Yeah, think of the quintessential Bela Lugosi. He did it to the nines too.
Yes,
I mean, whether intentionally or not, but that's what we think of, right? And it's always over the top, and that's fine.
For some weird reason, I almost feel like it's typecasting to type Nicolas Cage as Dracula, and I have no idea where that's coming from. I am a fan of Nick Cage. I really do like his work and everything. So I'm excited about this. I think it should be, at the very least, an interesting take on an old story.
Yeah, totally with you, because we've heard the Dracula story how many times now?
Yeah.
Let's do something different. Why not?
I'm excited about that. Excited to talk with you about the saving our shows. I think we take a pause here, take care of some bills, and come back with that.
All right, let's do it, everyone. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on Director's Cut.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from 6 types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
Welcome back to Director's Cut, everybody. We hope you're enjoying your Sunday night or whenever you're listening to the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. And don't forget that you can catch this show and all of our original content at civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm.
The ballot box is open for the 26th annual Save Our Shows poll that USA Today does.
Okay.
When they first started doing this, I thought it was a neat little thing that they do. They've actually been able to help a lot of shows stay on the air.
Which is interesting. Yeah.
I love that we're at a point, and we've been doing this for a little while. I mean, even going back to when I was a kid and they had the Rome, Wisconsin show, and that was going to be canceled. And I remember the town in this area, you know, messaging CBS, I think it was, about it and everything.
Yeah, that was Picket Fences, right?
Picket Fences.
Picket Fences.
They saved that show for like
they
an
did
extra
for a couple
season
of,
or
yeah.
something. Mm-hmm. I think one of the bigger examples is Firefly. They weren't able to bring it back, but they got a movie.
They did get a movie out of it.
That was pretty cool.
One of my all-time favorite show, Mystery Science Theater, was saved. For a little while by doing that, by jamming Comedy Central's fax machine. Yes. I think it was one of the things they did.
Yes, it was. Yeah. another great, because I was that's my favorite example right there.
Yeah.
But my second favorite is Arrested Development. In season, the Bluth family doing a benefit and calling it Save Our Show. Say, it's SOS. like just couldn't be more blunt about it. Like, hey, wink, nudge to the audience kind of thing. It was great. They had cameos and all that. Like, Super Dave showed up. It was awesome. So we're going to tell you about some shows that are on the fence right now, the Endangered Network series that are vying to get on the, not only get on this list, but hopefully keep around for an extra season. ABC's The Good Doctor, Fox's 911, and CBS's SWAT, two yet unproven new series such as The Company You Keep or Alaska Daily. My mom loves that show, Alaska Daily.
Okay.
Or East Side New York. Eight of the series are comedies, including NBC's American Auto, Young Rock, and Fox's Mayim Bialik show, Call Me Cat. I have to say real quick, American Auto, just watched it for the heck of it because I like some of the actors on it. What a cool show. Mm-hmm. It's a fun show. It's a 20-some minute show that is just silly and gives you a kind of inside look on the American auto industry in some ways, while also kind of just entertaining you.
Which is good, yeah.
Such a perfect cast, too. There's not one flaw in that cast. Really fun
show. That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
The ABC remake of The Wonder Years is not included. Its second season debuts June 14th, so that's still coming up.
That one is coming up.
And summer show is not counted.
Yeah, I've been able to catch The Wonder Years on Disney Plus, because of course they moved it to that after they had premiered on ABC, and I have to say they're doing it. The feel of the show is very similar to the original. They have done a very good job about that, and plus it's got Dulé Hill.
Yeah, I mean,
anything that he is in, I'm going to be watching. I love Dulé Hill.
His arc has been so cool to see. His career is so cool. Mm-hmm. I root for him. This poll on USA Today gives viewers a voice in whether TV series hovering on the bubble between renewal and cancellation get another lease on life. A slot on the network's 23-24 schedule, which will be announced mid-May. So that's coming up. These things are right around the corner.
Yeah, this is coming. Wow.
And this isn't a speculative list. This isn't speculation. This is based on reports from top executives about primetime series status. Streaming and cable shows and unscripted reality series are not included in this, but everything else is. So we're talking basic broadcast television, your standard sitcoms. And as we touched on already, fan support really can demonstrate loyalty to a show and tell a network, hey, we want this still on. NBC renewed the low-rated Timeless and Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist after strong results in the earlier Save Our Show's polls. Magnum PI got saved and then even got onto another network because of this poll.
We've been seeing a little bit more of recently of moving networks. Maybe for whatever reason, I've never understood why it would work on one and not another network. That seems very weird to me.
It really
But it has done that. Well, I mean, what you were talking about, Arrested Development did that.
Yep.
They were able to do it. I think they were even more successful after they moved off of Fox.
Yeah. Especially with the Netflix promotions and everything. You can make your voice be heard. Choose whether the five major networks should keep or drop each of these series. The poll remains open until late April when the results will be tallied. You can go to usatoday.com to find out more about this. Just go into their entertainment sections. Or if you Google Save Our Shows, I've got the list right in front of me. And it's just very simple. Keep, drop, don't care. That's all you do. You just click these things.
That's really interesting. And I'm wondering now if executives are doing this very deliberately, you know, getting the word out about these shows that they're on the fence about and saying, hey, is there a fan base out there? We're looking, can show us. Is this something that we can, you know, continue with? Make sure, you know, the almighty dollar, of course, is the bottom line. You got to make sure you get advertisers for those shows, and they need to be high rated for that, which is really interesting. I'm curious about how they do this on the streaming services.
Yes.
Because they never tell you anything about how well a show is doing, really. I mean, what Netflix has like a top 10, right?
Yeah.
When they show, but that's it. They don't give you numbers. They don't give you anything else.
They don't give you where they're getting those 10 things
from. They don't know. They're not telling you any information about that.
I know that they're still trying to figure a lot of these things out. We are on radio even trying to still figure out these things out. You know, forever, we just went by P1s, P2s and everything. It's a whole new world now where we got to consider streaming
and all that other stuff. Yeah.
And how much of a factor you put into that? How much do you put into advertising into that? How much do you put into your future into that?
Yeah. It's a good question.
I was going to run through the shows here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Alaska Daily from ABC, All American Homecoming from CW, American Auto from NBC, Call Me Cat from Fox, East New York from CBS, Fantasy Island from Fox, Gotham Knights from CW, Grand Crew from NBC, Home Economics, ABC, Lopez vs. Lopez on NBC, 911 on Fox, Not Dead Yet on ABC, The Rookie, Feds, ABC, but The Rookie itself is still going on.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's the spinoff.
Superman and Lois on the CW, SWAT on CBS, The Company You Keep on ABC, The Good Doctor on ABC, True Lies, Walker, Welcome to Flatch, and Young Rock. That rounds out the list.
Okay. Wow. That's a really big list.
It is a huge, and there's a lot of surprises to be on there.
Yeah.
SWAT has done very well in its time slot. Yeah. I'm a little surprised to see that.
Interesting.
CW couldn't wait to promote Walker, and they even got a spinoff of Walker, but Walker's on the chopping block, but the spinoff isn't. I always find that
That's
weird. When they canceled Law & Order, the original Law & Order, mm-hmm. but they still had Law & Order SVU. I just felt weird about that. Like, it doesn't seem right. It seems wrong.
It's like your parents were taken away or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
wait a minute, what happened here?
That's
you
not right.
That's not how this works.
A couple of their, without getting into the giant debate about network television versus streaming, all these things, you can't help but notice that it's really the kind of shows they're showing on network television. There's not a lot of variety.
No.
There really isn't. You're seeing tons of the cop shows, which, and I'm not going to start saying, you know, like, oh, all the cop shows, you know, they're out there. It's always been the case.
Oh,
You go back to radio. There were tons of cop and detective shows on. Yeah, it's always been that way because they're popular. People like to listen and watch these things.
One of my favorite intros for a TV show of all time is a Police Story. And the as I walk away, the little runaway song. I don't know why it fits so well in there, but I'm not even a huge fan of that song. But I love it's so perfect that the way that they filmed it and everything. Yeah. I watched it a couple days ago. I was going to use it as star of the day, and it just blows me away. It's so cool,
right? And then of course there's tons of medical shows as well. I was kind of surprised The Good Doctor was on there,
yeah,
because that's been going on for a couple of years. A lot of people have been
big fans of that show,
yeah. And so there were a couple of surprises on the list that I was, yeah, wow, that's interesting.
As far as shows that have been renewed or are pretty much it's a given they're going to be, I'm not going to go through every single TV show out there, but Abbott Elementary, The Conners, Grey's Anatomy, The Rookie, Station 19, Will Trent, that's a newer show, have all been renewed or are pretty well assumed are going to be renewed.
Right.
A Million Little Things, Big Sky, and The Goldbergs have either been canceled or they were wrapping up their final season.
Anyway. Okay. Well, The Goldbergs, there's no surprise. That's been on for how many years?
I think if I'm anybody involved with that show, I'm so happy and proud that we made it like 10 seasons or whatever. I liked it. I watched the first couple seasons, but right away, like it was like season 3 or whatever. I'm like, oh man, they're running out. Now they're just basically doing like, hey, you guys love Ferris Bueller? Well, here's Ferris Bueller episode. Like, and I got no problem with that. I mean, look, we have to write a new show every day. It's not easy, I admit. But it was one of those things where I didn't think it had a huge shelf life.
It's one of those shows, and it was only because it was so popular.
Yes.
That's the reason why you know it's going to stay on there. If you want to know why The Simpsons are still on, well, that's because people watch it and they like it. That's why.
Exactly.
You know?
So the next thing I wanted to get into with you, Seth, the big news coming out over the last week or so was they had a Star Wars celebration.
Yes.
Big meet, all that. Got a bunch of people together. And, hey, Disney's going to tell you about some new Star Wars projects coming out. People like you and I, very excited. Mm-hmm. I don't think people expected too much to come of this, though.
I think
nowadays you kind of get an idea of a lot of the things that are coming. Mm-hmm. But then they threw, of course, as Disney and Star Wars universe likes to do, threw us a curve. Ball that we didn't see coming. Devotees dressed in cosplay, filmmakers and stars from the universe gathered a couple Fridays ago for the Star Wars Celebration, the convention that took place. Lucasfilm's president Kathleen Kennedy took the celebration stage with featured guests to discuss what's next and revealed a new Star Wars movie. Three new ones, in fact.
Wow.
One of three that's coming up.
Yeah, wow.
So getting into this, the audience welcomed teasers from Ahsoka. How do you say it? The Rosario Dawson TV show.
Oh, Ahsoka.
Ahsoka, thank
Ahsoka.
You. So they got a trailer of that. That one is we're very excited about.
That one's going to be popular.
Skeleton Crew and the Acolytes saw trailers for those. Mm-hmm. Of course, a new season of The Mandalorian and everything. But let's get into the films here.
Okay, good.
So, director David Fillion said his film will explore the New Republic era,
okay.
including an epic war, pulling threads together between TV and film worlds. It's a big tapestry that's being woven. I love to think of stories in that context. You're not bound at all. I hope you walk into the theater, and whether you've seen his series or not, you enjoy the movie. So, he's excited about doing that.
Yeah.
Excited about combining the... combining the worlds, Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka.
Yes.
Combining all of those and turning it into, I think maybe the way it's starting to sound and everything, maybe a film that wraps all those shows up.
Let's hope.
Or ties them all together. I don't know. As much as literally, The Mandalorian is one of my top five favorite shows on TV right now.
Yeah,
I don't like to see shows stay too long nowadays.
I agree.
I worry about that. I've really enjoyed this third season, and that all the more makes me worry about there being like a 10th season or something like that.
The person that I think that the perfect person to do this is Dave Filoni. And the reason is Dave Filoni has been there for... longer than anyone else. He's the one that worked with George Lucas on the Clone Wars show. That's where he first popped up. Mm-hmm. He's basically he's called himself George Lucas is kind of like his dad.
Yeah.
And Lucas has treated him very much like a son.
Yeah.
And so it's even though George Lucas has nothing to do with Star Wars anymore, you know, he doesn't have any creative anything at all. He's the guy, speaking of connective tissue, he's the guy that connects the Lucas era to the Disney era. And he knows more about all of this stuff than any single person. The Mandalorian, yes, is Jon Favreau's baby. That's kind of his thing. But Dave Filoni had a big part to play in that. He's still a producer on there. Yeah. He still writes on there. So he is the perfect guy to do this. And I think he's also the guy to help hopefully wrap some things up so that we're not, things aren't flailing around like they are. Like they can get in Star Wars. Oh. They can really get that way. Where a good example, people get confused. Wait, what time zone are we in now?
Yeah.
Where in the era are we?
Heck, I get confused by that sometimes.
Beth and I watch it together and she loves them, but she's like, can't get around. It's like, where are we again?
Yeah.
What time are we in? So if they can find a way to get, you know, some of these wrapped up together and connect them with other eras and that kind of thing, it'd be helpful for the more casual fan, I think.
I don't think there's any Star Wars project that should not involve Dave. Like,
yeah,
in
some way,
at least as a set of eyes and ears,
creative
on
consultant.
The set
that, yeah.
Yes, yes, in any way whatsoever going forward, he should be having a producer spot on every single thing.
I agree.
Another great mind in the Star Wars universe, James Mangold.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to direct Dawn of the Jedi about the earliest era of Star Wars. Mangold, who is still writing the film, told USA Today he was inspired by the idea of a biblical epic that explains where the spirituality of the Force originates. The film, which hasn't been given a release date or anything. I mean, they're still writing it.
Yeah, very early stages. Yeah,
it's about the dawning of the religion that drives Star Wars.
That's going to be fascinating. And I really hope they do a good job with that one, because we've been through all these films and it's changed, you know, about what is the Force and what powers the Jedi has changed. You know, some people got really upset about that. I think, why not? If it's like this Force, why can't you do certain crazy things with it? Just makes sense to me. I love the idea of going back and finding the origin of it. Like you said, kind of like a religious experience kind of thing. Plus, this is an era they've not explored at all, is the very early days of the Republic, of the, you know, gathering the galaxy together and that kind of stuff. So I think that's a very rich field that they can tap.
I've gotten a little, we were talking about the story, timelines, and it gets a little confusing, and I get a little... as much as I love all this stuff and everything, it does get a little, I don't have the right word, not tiring, not boring, but just the past stuff or the prequel stuff. I get a little tired of some of that.
Yeah.
And then I hear this.
A little overwhelming, maybe.
Yeah. Which you're so right, man. It has never touched it. We've never heard any of this. And I remember when George came out with the last three that he was a part of.
Yep.
And people started getting a little bent out of shape about the Force being this and how it changed and everything. Right. Get over yourself.
Please.
Like, audiences and audiences, this includes George Lucas. George Lucas is a fan. He's a fan of Star Wars just like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. They didn't have these questions back then. We just took sci-fi as it was. Mm-hmm. Nobody was watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind and went, well, how did they know music? How did they know, how did they know this, and this, or whatever? Like, we ask so many more questions now. We demand so much more of our entertainment now. It's not enough to entertain us. You've got to make sense. You got to make sense of sci-fi, of a make-believe world, and I want sense, and I want, everything to make sense of this. A make-believe universe that nobody's ever even seen or
it
anything.
Has to have this rigid logic to it. You can't have any whimsy in it or anything.
Can you just
like that?
Have some fun? Please? Can you just enjoy it? and look, if George Lucas wanted to update some things and change some things, he's the guy that could do it.
He's
it's
allowed
his baby.
To do that.
It's his thing. Just roll with it. If you don't know, I'm not saying you can't. You don't have. You have to like it. If you don't like it, that's fine. But the whining about it gets a little old.
That's
to me.
Very old. I agree.
The people that are would stop watching because of that or something.
We are both self-described Star Wars fans, and we will be the first to tell you there's some really not good Star Wars fans out there that are just like, well, guys, come on.
Yeah.
Just don't take it so seriously, please.
To quote William Shatner, get a life. there's a son out there to go hang out.
Yeah,
there
please,
are books
please,
to read.
Yes.
The final movie to be talked about in the director's panel, and I'm going to murder the name, but Shireen Chinoy. Chinoy. I can't think
of it. Okay, I don't remember.
Rounded out the director's panel and said she is spearheading a third film about a new Jedi Order with a Jedi Academy led by a powerful Jedi Master. And then the audience is, there's a pause, and Daisy Ridley comes out.
Oh my gosh.
And there's very few roars I have heard like I heard with that. Of course, Daisy played Rey in the most recent trilogy that came out. They are talking about this like it could be a trilogy, but it could also be a one-off.
Just a standalone,
It's so cool to see her, how excited she was to come back to the stage. She's a working actor. She's got plenty of, so it's not like she was desperate to get work. And no. That's why she's happy to be back. Most of the actors from that last run were very, enjoyed it, but it was a long process. It took up a lot of their schedule. They were pretty happy to leave it go. Daisy Ridley was one of these people who keeps bringing it up. And I don't know if it was because she knew this was coming or if she just missed the world being in the part of that universe.
Yeah. Which to be honest, it looks like a fun place to hang out.
Yeah.
But let's. What actor wouldn't want to do that? I'm serious.
So true.
Let me. I think this is a very, very good thing, and I'm just thrilled at the reception she got.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't think her character was served well with the movies. I think it was because of the issues with them, all the muddledness, time. Yeah. There was so many things that were going on with that. I think her character kind of got lost in the shuffle, even though she's like one of the most important character in there.
Oh, but she did.
I love the idea that finally we get to just look at her. We can get rid of all the other Skywalker stuff. Yeah. No more that stuff. She calls herself Skywalker, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
But it's going to be her own thing. Mm-hmm. And she's going to, and so, yes, thank you. Because this is something I think... not only for Daisy, but for the character of Rey. And it's going to be good because people love Rey. Yeah. They really like that character. When they first came out of the pushback, she has just grabbed people's hearts. And I'm thrilled. I think it's great.
I think this is what happens when you get fine, strong actors to play some of these roles. We've talked about it with the Marvel movies and everything.
Yeah, right.
When you cast a great thespian in a role like a Benedict Cumberbatch, it's Doctor Strange. It makes it a lot more believable.
It's true.
It brings it really home, especially when these actors really give their all. Mm-hmm. I needed something on in the background yesterday, and my buddy was in this, had a small little extra part in it, so I put on the new Shazam. I was watching some of it and everything. It was god awful. it was horrible. It was one of the worst movies I've seen in a very long time.
Oh no!
But it wasn't. I think it was the writing. I don't think it was any of the acting.
Right.
But I did notice. So Helen Mirren is in that. Helen Mirren, just one of the greatest actors of all time. And I'm like, okay, is she going to give her all or anything? And she worked really hard in it. You could tell that it mattered to her, similar to Angelina Jolie in The Internals.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's Lucy Liu, who is, I don't know if I've ever heard somebody say they don't like Lucy Liu. She's a fantastic actor. She could not have phoned it in more, man.
Oh, no.
Like, it was like painful in a sense, where she's like, she's supposed to be angry and screaming, but she's basically just talking loud. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was a miscasting. Maybe it was that. Yeah. I don't want to say anything bad here because I really like her, respect her a lot.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that seemed like a money grab.
it's okay. I just want to say, I have no problem with actors working for just getting a paycheck. I have nothing, but you kind of have to, you know, don't
try
be obvious about it.
Yeah, try a little.
Try a little bit.
I mean, I swear at one scene, I thought she was looking at her phone when she was delivering lines. These new movies from the Star Wars universe, of course, don't have a set date yet or anything like that. But I'd be on the lookout for them.
I'm ready. We're all ready. I mean, come on.
Seth and I are already got tickets for these movies that haven't even a release date yet or anything.
You've said it before. It doesn't matter. Yeah. If it's good, bad, indifferent, we're going to go watch them because we love Star Wars.
I'm very, especially this last one we're talking about, because I was getting to before, let's see some new stories.
Yeah.
Push the story forward. There's so much to tell. Looks like they're going to do it.
And this is that one last little thing before we wrap this section. I got to say that one thing I do hope they do in the future, I want them to go way into the future.
Yes.
They've done the past the way, now they're doing the way back past, which is cool. I like that. But let's get away from this one period of time. I want to see, you know, someone go all the way, and just to see, we can still see how what happened before affected the future, which would be cool. That's how you connect it. But I want to see different stuff. I want to see something really new.
Imagine if you told the world's history, but only up to World War II.
Yeah.
You know, well, there's a lot of cool stuff that's happened since then.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and now we're going to get that second half. We're going to get some of that other stuff, it looks like.
Yes, it is. And we are all so excited for that. But now we got to wait.
Yeah.
That's okay. You can get a sandwich.
And the waiting game.
And the waiting. No, just kidding. No, in fact.
We'll be able to entertain you while you're waiting.
That's right. And we will be right back to entertain you more here on Director's Cut.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But,
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm warning continues until 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Cloudy tonight with snow likely. Lows around 27. Winds out of the northwest 20 to 25 miles per hour. Snow likely tomorrow 33. Overcast 23 tomorrow night. Chance of snow. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 33.
Welcome back to Director's Cut here on this beautiful day, beautiful night, whatever time of day you're listening to us, of course.
We're on all the time.
Yeah, yeah. You can, of course, get our shows at civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us. Thank you for listening, everybody. Seth and I wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about the new streaming service coming out, Max. It is HBO Max and Discovery Plus have joined forces to be just plain Max, owned by the same parent company. And they're making a bunch of big noise with some of the shows that they got coming out. I want to mention these shows a little bit because there's some good stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But one of these days, if not today, when we have more time, I want to talk about the streaming wars and the how this ends, you know, where this goes and everything. For now, we'll just look at Max and the new streaming service that is. What would you get with that service? They haven't gotten a price yet. I'd like to see what the price is. But
they got
a series based on the Conjuring universe that is coming out. That could be interesting. Mm-hmm. That is loosely based on true story. So that one is always, the first Conjuring movie was really good. I'm not a scary movie guy.
Yep.
I watched it more as a documentary kind of thing.
Right, right.
Really good. Credible actors in that show.
Yes.
That was pretty good. Another Big Bang Theory spinoff is happening. It'll be the second one after Young Sheldon. Once again, there are no plot details, but creator Chuck Lorre is coming back. Chuck Lorre's good at what he does.
He is, because what, he needs more money?
Yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, seriously, Chuck Lorre's got to be one of the richest people in Hollywood, considering all the shows he's done.
The big one I'm excited about, my former colleague, of course, Robert Downey Jr. No, I'm so kidding. I cannot stress, I'm kidding enough. Robert Downey Jr. is going to be having a new show coming out where he's playing multiple roles in the post-Vietnam drama, The Sympathizer. It doesn't debut until 2024, but the trailer has already dropped. Check out the trailer. He is doing some of his best work in just this trailer. And that's saying something, because I think Robert's got some great great credits to his resume.
Right. You know, he's at that point where, what do you do next?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you know, if you're one of the highest paid people in Hollywood, you've got this iconic role that you've had now for over 10 years. Yeah. Rumors he's coming back again.
Yes.
As an alternate Tony Stark.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, and you've got Sherlock, you know, another kind of iconic role that he's taken over. He's done a couple of movies here and there, you know, no great shakes, but it's like, what do you do? And
it's a great question.
It sounds like he's stretching, which is always a good thing, considering where he's at.
Well, I'm sure he would like to forget, and a lot of audiences might like to, but he tried to do this with the Dr. Doolittle thing, like he tried to go in a different direction and everything. Didn't go well.
That part didn't go well. No. But you never know what's gonna hit or not, right?
But at the same time, his production company is producing that Perry Mason TV show on HBO, and that's been doing really well.
Yeah.
And his production company's been doing very well.
Yeah, right. So,
a preview of Colin Farrell's Penguin series debuted. It's a spinoff of the new Batman movies.
Yep.
I'm curious about that. I'll see that. I'll watch it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. A new Game of Thrones prequel called A Knight of Seven Kingdoms, The Hedge Knight, will focus on George R.R. Martin's Dunk and Egg novels.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've not read them, but I've heard of them.
The Gremlins are back. They're bringing that one back because everything's got to come back. The new Max animated series, Gremlins: Secrets of Mogwai, is coming in May. That looks interesting. I'll say this. That looks a little interesting. I don't know if I'll see it, but it looks a little interesting.
It looks interesting. You know, it's one of those things where were the originals really that popular?
You
know, Gremlins, I know, was a hit. It was a hit movie, you know.
Yeah.
But the sequel came out, didn't do so well, and we've heard nothing since then. Okay, if you say so.
I think these are very good points by you. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about it like that before, but yeah. The big one that I am all in on, I cannot wait, and I'm so surprised that she is doing this. There is, for one, there's a new season of True Detective coming out.
Oh, wow.
The first season of True Detective was one of the best seasons I've ever seen of any TV show ever. It was immaculately written, edited, acted. Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey did such an amazing job in that you've seen since that show, their careers have gone in different...
They've gone up,
very different than before that TV show.
Yes.
Where the serious roles and the parts that they've been getting and everything. McConaughey showed his legs as an actor, and I think it's what led to him winning an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Harrelson, I think, deserves an Oscar and may get one day.
Someday.
It may have started from there. The second and third season of True Detective, probably not as solid. Also, the third season, and Michelle Ali... how do I say his first
name? Mahershala
Ali, who is just one of the greats.
He's one of the best actors we have right now, yeah.
His work in that third season alone was worth watching, I think.
Okay.
But in this fourth season, Jodie Foster is starring in True Detective.
Interesting bit of casting there.
For a real quick note, as the one of the world's biggest Jodie Foster fans, I do my homework on this lady, mm-hmm. and she doesn't work much anymore unless it's a project that she really, really like. It's not enough for her to like it. She's mm-hmm. got to want to grow as an actor. She's mm-hmm. talked about this. Is it going to help me expand? Is it going to help right. me grow as a performer? If it's not, if it's the same old, I don't have a lot of interest in doing it. Maybe I'll produce or I'll direct.
Yeah.
Which she has been doing a lot of in the yeah. last 10 years is producing and being behind the mm-hmm. camera. She's a great director. I miss Jodie on screen. She's my favorite actress of all time. Any chance I get to see her, great. Let alone in this environment where it's always dark and twisted and weird. She doesn't do a lot of stuff like that.
No, she has not in the past.
It's got a really nice cast. John Hawkes is in it. Christopher Eccleston. Nice group of actors. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's called True Detective Night Country. The trailer alone looked good. Mm. And the fact that Jodie signed up for this mm-hmm. tells me this has got to be pretty good. Like, that woman doesn't, I back her. Like, well, if she's doing something, I'm yep. in.
Well, from what you just said, it sounds like it had to be one heck of a script. Because that's yeah. where it all starts, you know, with actors. It's always, yes. you got to read the script, especially when you're in a position where people want you, you know, yeah. specifically say, hey, yeah. check this out. And if it grabs you, then that must be, there must be something there for an actor of her caliber, plus her temperament, you know, where she is, like you just went through explaining where she is in her career.
Yeah.
It has to be something pretty good.
So one other thing I wanted to touch on with the audience and everything mm-hmm. is just promoting some local stuff that's coming up.
Sure.
We've got Earth Week this week.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. And of course, our friends over at McMillan Memorial Library have a ton of cool things going on always. It doesn't matter what week it is, week it is or anything like that. There is something for you to do over McMillan. Some of the big Earth Day events that they have going on April 18th at 6 o'clock, they got the movie The Lorax, starring the great Danny DeVito as The Lorax. What amazing casting that is.
Yeah, no kidding.
That is going to be fun, and it's a great way to be able to take in the movie as well with the family and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, April 19th at 6, McMillan Fine Arts Center is going to be hosting Francisco Soya, Emerging Technology Director of Renew Wisconsin. We got to talk with him this week on the Morning Magazine.
Very cool.
Clean Energy is presenting this conference and talking about not only clean energy, but the tax credits that are available for organizations, all the different things that are important on this topic. As
yeah.
The world's getting more and more green. Governments are also giving you incentives to go green.
Exactly.
And, being able to talk about that and have somebody face-to-face being able to do mm-hmm. this. One of my favorite new people I have met, Susan Schuler. She's the program director for Recycling Connections. She is going to be in McMillan on Thursday, April 20th at 6, McMillan in their Fine Arts Center. She's going to be there to present recycling support for a more circular economy. Her presentation will answer questions like, why can't I recycle plastic bags at home? Or what happens to glass? Where stuff wow. end up in landfills?
Very cool.
Really, really. And she knows her stuff. She is really smart.
Nice.
That's going to be a really good one. On Earth Day, Saturday, April 22nd at 1:30, the McMillan Line Fine Arts Center is going to have their view of The Biggest Little Farm. Wonderful doc. It's an award-winning documentary that shows the complexity of nature and the challenge of farming within a reawakened ecosystem. This movie is rated PG, mm-hmm. and I think everybody could watch that one.
It sounds like something not only entertaining, but also very, very prescient right now. Some mm-hmm. stuff that we really need to talk about.
And as I mentioned, McMillan has all kinds of great events going on throughout
all the time.
Their Right Night is coming up Thursday, the 27th at 6 o'clock, and they're courtroom. Right Night is a writers group gathering to discuss and critique all things writing.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool that they yep. do that kind of stuff. Yep. I like that. There's a lot of other cool things. And don't forget Four on the Floor. I wanted to make
never,
sure to mention that.
Never forget Four on yeah. the Floor. So
April 27th, 6:30 to 8 in McMillan Fine Arts Center.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks everyone once again for joining us today. Just hearing us ramble along, you yeah. know, but you're going to have to expect those episodes every now and then. Okay. We'll be back soon with some more great guests. We got some more musicians coming up.
Yeah.
We've got some writers coming up. We're going to be talking about the very important topic of suicide
yes.
and suicide prevention. So stay tuned for that as well. But as always, thanks for joining us on Director Scott. We'll see you next time.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor,
WFHR,
yeah, tell your folks
Wisconsin
I
said Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM. From the